Would you please open up to Job in chapter number 1 in the Word of God? Job chapter number 1 in the Word of God this evening. And as we find our place here in Job chapter number 1, if you were here on Sunday morning, and I know some of our Sunday school teachers are out and then got caught up, and I had several texts of just encouragement about this past Sunday morning's message. We begin to talk about God's power. And what I love about that sermon is that you and I get to dig in and watch not just kind of laying a foundation of God's power, but then what His power is able to do through you and through me. And we often see God's power and we don't realize it at times. We can almost, you ready for this? We can almost get used to it. We see it, as we saw Sunday morning, in His salvation in our lives. We see it in His sanctification. If we're awake and we're alert and we learn how God is molding us, moving in our lives, teaching us, training us, we see that sanctification that is at work in our lives. And I think it's very important for us to rewind just a moment and to remember that God's sanctification is in an individual's life. And an individual may take that journey at a different pace than maybe you or I might take it. And we have to remember that God's sanctification, it's very personal. I think at times in religion, what we do is we don't like that it's too slow in a person's life, or we don't like that that sanctification, that has worked, that changing, that molding, it's not the same as me, and it's not the same as where I am at. And so we, if we're not careful, can begin to take the Holy Spirit's, well, job or position and begin to push on someone that maybe the Holy Spirit's not exactly ready to train them in just yet. And so as we disciple people, as we teach people, as people are under the leading of the Word of God and the healing from God's Word, may you and I constantly remember that the power of God is able to change, are you ready for this, anyone's life. If you really believe that, would you say amen tonight? Hold on, let me say it again. The power of God is able to change any life. Any life. Now, let's not, we're a Wednesday night. This is a Wednesday night crowd. Maybe, let's never forget that, friend. I think at times we look at politicians, we're so mad, we're so upset, they're so evil. I can't even watch her speak. I can't even listen to him. I turn them off. Let's be reminded that there's a lot more at work than politics or how expensive gas is or groceries. Can I tell you, there is a soul, and there is evil, and there's right, and there's wrong, and there's heaven, and there's hell. And may you and I as Christians and as Bible believers never forget that's the gospel at work. May you and I not forget, listen to how I get worked up, and I can't just yet. That's supposed to come in point number three. That the power of God in a person's life is there and it's real. Let's not get our eyes off that God's going to come back. I truly believe within maybe the next 5 years, I would say maybe 8 at the most. That's personal. I'm not saying that's when He's coming back. No man knoweth the hour, but we know the signs of the seasons. We know in the Middle East it's getting close. And I personally believe maybe 5-10 years, and I'm still planning for retirement, but I believe it's getting closer. And so may we not get our eyes off the prize. What's that? Souls, friend. Soul winning, friends, tracks, letting our neighbors know there's a judgment coming. We see His power in our salvation. We see His power in our sanctification. We also saw Sunday in our slacking. When you and I get down, when we're out, we slacken things. God's power is there to lift us up. Now, for the next couple of moments, I want us to dig in a little bit more to this, the power of God. So would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word tonight? And just for time's sake this evening, I'm just going to read verse number 10. Would you please follow along as I read verse number 10? The Bible says this. Hast not thou made a hedge about him? Talking about who? Well, Job. And about Job's house and all that he hath on every side. Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. For just a moment, I want to continue looking at in our, Our slides are not going to change tonight. So if you're taking notes, I've got several points this evening. You can write these down. But tonight I want to continue talking about the power of God. The power of God. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, I ask, Lord, this evening that You would be in our midst. Father, lead, guide, work, direct as only You can. May the Word of God be real to us. Father, at times I know on Wednesdays we're tired. Lord, it's a hot day today. We had a lot going on, and many have come straight from work into this building. And so, Lord, encourage us where we need to be encouraged tonight. We love You, Savior. In Your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Job, in this book of the Bible, is one of the richest men in the East. Job has a very large family and has quite a few sons. And the Bible says that Job is a very good man. Job is a righteous man. In this whole book, it's really amazing. We don't have time to this evening, but Job has everything taken from him. But before this happens, we saw Sunday that Satan and the sons of God come to present themselves to God. They begin to talk with God, and they begin to have a conversation with Him. And what I love in the Word of God is that in verse number 8, God asks Satan, "Satan, have you seen this man, my servant Job? Have you looked at him? Have you watched him?" And this man who is upright, who eschewed evil, this good godly man that in this first chapter talks about each and every day goes and makes a sacrifice not only for himself but also for his family. And what I love about that is that this almighty powerful God, check it out, is interested in his creation. He is interested in Job. That means this. He is interested in you and he is interested in me. And he begins to ask this question to Satan. Have you seen my servant that is really this incredible servant? And then Satan begins to speak back and says, well, the reason that Job is the man that he is, the reason that he worships you the way that he does, is because he's the richest man in the East, and that you have been very good to him, and we've tried to attack him, but there is a hedge, watch the wording here, there is a hedge about him that if you were to let this hedge go, you would see a different story, God. And so the story, this true account of Job, and this book in the Bible is really one of the oldest books in the Bible. This whole story begins to talk about how everything is taken away from Job, his family, his riches, even his health. His wife says, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" And that his friends, through the rest of the chapters of the book, step on the scene. And it's really this incredible book. But what I want you really stop for a moment and think about is this hedge that is around us. You and I truly have, or could say, that we are hedged in by the Lord Jesus Christ. The only thing that can touch, the only things that can touch you and I are the things that God allows. Now hold on and think about this. The only thing in life that is able to touch you and I is by the providence of God. God allows it. God gives the okay. Now, for you and I as Christians, that'd be hard to understand. And well, why in the world would a God in heaven allow bad things to happen to good people? Why can't it just happen to wicked people? Why can't it just happen to the bad people? Can I say it? I've said it many times, is that bad things do happen to good people. And that you and I living on this cursed earth, we understand that our bodies are decrepit, they're getting old, we have a sin nature. You and I go through life and we do face bad things. We face bills and politics and we face health crisis and we face cancer and we face the things of this earth. The righteous and the unrighteous alike have to live on this earth. But you and I can know and comprehend that God knows what he is doing and that God can be trusted. And the difference between you and I going through a hard time in the lost world is that you and I have a Savior that will never leave us nor forsake us. Not to mention that, you and I cannot be scared with death. You know why? We are going to heaven one day. How many are thankful for that? Amen. You and I know must concentrate on this evening, on this hedge. We can and must have this hedge built around us. We ought to ask for this hedge around our families and especially around our church. Why? Because Satan is after Christians. That's why 1 Peter says it like this. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. There must be a comprehension that the forces are evil of evil are after you and I. Let me put it this way tonight. If you think that you just get saved, boom, that's it, you're done. No more problems, no more worries, no more cares, no more complaints, no more aches. Somebody lied to you. Because that's not the case at all. The difference is you and I could go through with an absolute perfect peace from the very Prince of Peace, that God's got you and I in his hand, in his care, and he's watching after us each and every day. So this hedge of protection, where does it come from? A hedge that is about us, how does this happen? The power at be in God and the powers that are in this earth and all around us, what makes up this hedge? How do we have this hedge? Well, if you're taking notes tonight, I want you to write this down. First of all, you and I have an angelic protection. You and I have an angelic protection. Daniel chapter 10, Acts chapter number 12. Also in the book of Acts, Acts chapter number 27 are great examples where God used angels to protect the work on behalf of his children. When I say this evening, here's what automatically happens. You and I have lived through the 90s with, you know, Touched by an Angel, and we lived through the fairy tale days of Disney, and we've watched all the Shrek movies, and so we've almost kind of come to this place where we think that when we talk about angelic protection, it's just kind of a fairy tale. We almost live in this place that we've seen so many movies and we've been entertained so much that now we think this angel is this little cherub that's cute and chubby and it's got like a little cloth around it. Never mind. Anyways, and it's got a little trumpet and it's got little wings and it just flutters around, okay? That, unfortunately, in the 21st century that you and I live in, that's what we think of. But can I explain to you this evening that when we talk about angelic protection, this is not a fairy tale. This is not make-believe. It's not cartoonish. These are real angels that protect you and I. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 34, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Do you hear that? The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Psalm 91. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 13. But to which the angels, said he at the time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. And they are not all, watch now, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs for salvation? In the Old Testament, it talks about in Exodus, behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee in the place which I have prepared. You and I living today, listen very carefully, you and I may not be aware, but there are angels all around us. I heard one preacher say like this, well, I know there's angels around us because I married one. It didn't go over very well, but, you know, he tried. I got the angel carries me, give me this look like, move on. Okay, I'm going to move on. Listen now. But the Bible says this, be not forgetful to entertain, watch now, strangers, for thereby some have entertained, you ready for the word of God? Entertained angels unawares. Can you imagine that you and I in this earth, you and I, without even being aware, have probably entertained angels. We didn't know that they were there. We didn't know that they took on a human form, but they were there. And you and I may have conversed with them. You and I may have been around. They may have watched you this evening. They are most likely, without a doubt, in this room right now. The person you probably yelled at driving over here could have been an angel. They're around us. There is protection that is there from these angels. We have them there to protect us. They are there for our help. You and I have a hedge. How is this hedge built? Well, first of all, it's built with angelic beings. These beings are not human beings. These beings are very and extremely powerful. Again, I know we dig into this. We got some who are just saved and those we're working on. I mean, you hear stuff like this that just seems so crazy and wild. And let me tell you, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the darkness and rulers of this world. That means this. Our enemy is not each other in this room. There is light and there is darkness. There is good forces and there is evil forces. And can I even say, in church, so often we feel that. So often we can feel the power of God begin to come in. And sometimes pride might sneak in. And we feel that light and darkness. We feel that evil and that good. And that pressuring back and forth. And friend, let me put it this way. There are messages that I preach at times, and in my mind, I'm saying, God, you got to help me right here. I preached about 3 or 4 weeks ago on the subject of hell, and man, I begin to sweat, and you could feel it in the room, and what is it? There's a fight for souls. There's a fight for wickedness and darkness, and can I tell you, the world we live in, it's a dark world. My goodness, the Supreme Court came through, and we praise the Lord for them finally taking a stand and getting rid of this federal law of abortion. But may I tell you what we've seen in the streets over the last week? Absolute wickedness and darkness to cheer on the murdering of babies. Can I tell you, friend, it's a dark world and realm we live in. I've never been to Sight and Sound Theater, but I read a book by Dr. John Getch. In the beginning of his book, he gave this illustration of being at Sight and Sound Theater, and some have been there, but Gary and others have told me about it, and one day, Kara, we're going to take our family, and I can't wait to be able to get there, but I've never been able to go, and it's kind of like a Christian Broadway, and they put on these incredible shows, biblical shows, and in this book, Dr. Getch was talking about this Sight and Sound show that he was at, and it was the birth of Christ. I guess it was kind of a Christmas theme. This is probably 15, 20 years ago now, this Christmas theme, and he talks about in the beginning of this book that when Mary is giving birth to Jesus, and they took some theatrical, is it called effect or whatever here? They took a little bit of freedom in this story, but it's very powerful. And how that when Jesus, the night that he is being born in a manger, that Joseph is there, and there was a struggle, and it begins to show all these dark shadows fighting the pregnancy and fighting the birth, and these demons that are swarming, and it shows Joseph run away and get the innkeeper's wife, and the innkeeper's wife runs back, and she begins to help with this difficult pregnancy, and once again, it's not in the Word of God, but the effect is there, and these demons are swooping down and trying to stop this birth, and it shows Joseph, and Joseph goes over to the corner, and he gets on his knees, and he begins to pray, and just then, this massive angelic angel floats in and pulls out a fiery sword, and all of the darkness flees, and there is our Savior's birth. And can I tell you, friend, we may not have that in the Word of God, but what it shows is that if you and I, if our eyes could be open, this is the battle that we're facing all the time. If you could only see at this very moment, if your eyes were just open, at even around my head, the good and the evil and the distractions of Pastor, look at them and they don't care. And Pastor, look at them and they're leaving the church. And Pastor, look at them, they're looking at Facebook and nobody cares about what you're preaching. All of a sudden, in my mind, I begin to even struggle with this light and this darkness. But I'm telling you, friend, I am so thankful that you and I have this angelic beings around us that are cheering us on and helping us and fighting for us. It is this hedge, number one, angelic protection. But number two, prayer gives us protection. In verse number 5 here in chapter 1 of Job, man, when the feasting days were gone about, Job sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. What did he do? He continued to sacrifice 1 Samuel chapter 12 says, "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in," watch now, "ceasing to pray for you, but will teach you the good and the right way." Jesus said to Peter, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan had desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." My friend, morning, noon, and night, you and I have this protection. How do we have it? Because you and I are talking to our Abba Father. And you and I, before we take a trip, ought to ask for God's protection. When we wake up in the morning, we ought to ask for protection with our kids that are heading off to school. Protection for husbands or wives that are heading out of the house. Can I tell you, friend, may you and I constantly be on our knees. There's hardly a time that ever goes by that I don't pray with Brother Steve Fulford. And I've noticed every time we pray, I mean just about every time, Brother Steve Fulford will say, "And Lord, put a hedge of protection around our church." All the time, Pastor Foe, maybe you taught him that when he was a young man, but I love that of God. Protect our church. Protect our people. May you and I, we saw Sunday night, and I kind of just wanted to touch on it, of being a blessing to our young people. Friend, may you and I not just once a year when they get back from camp pray for them. Every week, pray for these young people. You and I, even Coach Shell, we have no idea what our kids are going to be facing compared to when even we grew up. We grew up in the 80s and the 90s. Some of you grew up in the 70s and the 60s and the 50s. What our kids are facing today is not what you and I face, my friend. It's not facing it at all. It is so different. My dad sent me a video clip today. It was, here, was that in the 1950s of New York? I think it was the 1950s, and somebody had one of those old cameras, 8mm or whatever it was called, and they're recording downtown New York City. And for a while, it's just clips of, you know, somebody put it on Twitter, and he sent me this clip. And I'm here to tell you, friend, downtown New York City is so different from what it is today. The way that people dress and handle themselves, just in like a two-minute clip, it's unbelievable. You know what our kids are facing? They're facing, they can choose whether they're a male or a female and have surgeries to change. And maybe just call somebody a tomboy. You know, go climb a tree and just get out, and, you know, you'll be okay. And man, but now what they face in this whole transgender, gay pride, wicked world that you and I live in, friend, they need protection. You know what they need? You and I not sitting here complaining. No, our job is to go win those people. God loves those people just as he loves you and just as he loves me. I'm not going to be unkind, and I'm not going to call names. Can I tell you, friend, whether it's an abortion doctor or somebody that is on the verge of being gay or lesbian or thinking about it or doesn't quite confused about male or female, can I tell you, my job is not to call them names. My job is to tell them about a loving God that loves them and died for them. But you know what our kids need? They need protection. They need God's hedge round about them. You and I have, watch now, an angelic, you and I have a prayer gives protection. But number three, would you write this down this evening? Number three, the Bible gives protection. The Word of God. D.L. Moody said it like this: "A Bible that is falling apart usually belongs to someone who is not. A Bible that is falling apart usually belongs to someone who is not." The psalmist said it like this, and I quote, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." The Old Testament said it like this: "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thine might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign on thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them on the post of thy house and thy gates. What is the author saying here? He's saying this: the word of God is powerful. The word of God ought to be in our hearts, and in our minds, and in our houses, and in our churches, and in our workplace, and in our schools. Why? Because it's powerful, friend. Listen, when you and I are weak, the word of God is strong. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you such as common a man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted that which you are able, above which you are able, but with all that temptation also make a way of escape, that you may also able to bear it. Listen now, when you're struggling, get in the word of God. When you're tempted, when your flesh is weak, listen, get in the word. I'm here to tell you tonight, I know we have college students in here, this is excellent, but for all of us who have been saved for a long time, I think sometimes we need to hear this. Amen. We have to be in the word, friend. If we're talking about people more than we are in the word, shame on us. Isn't it amazing in the day and age we live in? We are on Facebook more than we are in the very word of God. One of the greatest things that America could do is to get away from the news and get back into the very word of God. Change it around. Go buy a new Bible. One of the biggest things that has helped me, and I've got quite a few Bibles in my office, is, man, when I feel like, okay, I'm sluggish, I'm getting down, you know what I'll go do? Invest in a new Bible, a nice Bible. Get a nice leather cover on it. Get wide margin. Get something you can take notes on. Start journaling. If you're on a Bible and it's on your phone, have that as the biggest app. I'm an Apple guy. Fix a widget that when you get on there, and some of you are saying, what's a widget? Okay, just bear with me for a second. Put the Bible as your widget. It's the biggest thing on your phone, so that when you open it up, you're not automatically, look. Your habit is, you open your phone and watch your fingers go to work. It'll go straight to Facebook. It'll go straight to Instagram. It'll go straight to Fox News or Newsmax or CNN or whatever your app is. Isn't it amazing how often we bring out our phones and you know what we check? We go straight to messages. Oh, has anybody emailed in the last 30 seconds? I better check because I might have an Old Navy discount. Let me tell you something, friend. What you and I ought to change is put that app big on your screen. Why? So that you and I get in a habitual habit to continue to go to the Word. Well, I don't carry a Bible app. Oh, go buy a New Testament. I've got one in my office. It's leather. Carrie gave it for me for when I finished my master's degree. And man, it's just beautiful. New Testament has, I think, Psalms and Proverbs in it as well. But it's just, you know what it is? If it's right into my leather briefcase and I've got it. When you're weak, go to the Word of God. When you're afraid, there's power in the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of, watch now, power, and of love, and of sound mind. Every time I leave to preach out, it's a true story, every single time that I leave to preach out and I can't have my family with me, when I get back without a doubt, Carrie's Bible is always right beside the bed. You know why? If there's fear, and well, I don't have my husband in the house, or I fear this, get into the Word of God. It is a source of power. It is a source of a sound mind. And I'm telling you, those who are constantly, don't get offended by this, but those who are constantly weak are not in the Word of God. A weak Christian's not in the Word. You know why? They're afraid of everything. I'm afraid of COVID. I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid of the monkey. Oh, my word. Hey, hippopotamus pox, that'll be next. Mark it right here. It came right here. Say it tonight. Monkey pox, I couldn't think of it. I'm afraid of this. Afraid of the what's going to happen. All the cattle are dying out here and all this. We got to stock up food and ammunition. And they just constantly live this massive, fearful life. You know what my advice would be? Get in the Word of God. You know why? We know how it ends. We know. One of my friends out in California, he's a massive Seattle Seahawks fan. And the Seahawks happen to be playing the San Francisco 49ers in this game, a playoff game. And it might have even been the Super Bowl. And he's with all this other family, and everybody is for the 49ers. He's in a room full of 50 people. They're all for the 49ers. He is the lone guy going for the Seattle Seahawks. And he's sitting there, and they are getting blown out. And everybody's harassing him and getting on to him and getting him down. Oh, yeah, we're going to be. You know how it is. You've been there, and your team's just getting whooped. And he's just getting mad. He's getting upset. And, you know, of course, the Super Bowl is always on Sunday, so they're watching it recorded. So he's all mad. He goes into the room, and he's getting some chips and some ice cream and stuff. And while he's in the room, he's like, you know what, forget it. I'm just going to look at my phone. He pulls out his phone to see who wins. And the Seahawks won the game. Puts his phone back in his pocket, and let me tell you something. He walked in there, and he's all big, and he's all eating his chips, and he's all happy, and he's all great. And, oh, yeah, yeah, boy, Seahawks just really stinking it up. Yeah, you just wait till the fourth quarter, buddy. And he's just sitting there. All of a sudden, he got to the end, and they came back, and they won that game. How could he sit there being happy, and he's getting torn up, getting torn to bits, and everybody's, boy, it looked like the evil, 49ers there winning. You know how, why? He knew what was going to happen in the end. You and I, we're in the Bible. We know what's going to happen in the end. There's no reason to be depressed. There's no reason to be down. There's no reason to be worried. There's no reason to be sitting here, oh my goodness, I don't know what's going to happen in all this day and age. Can I just tell you, friend, God has the power. He has the power to protect you and I. When worry strikes, the Bible says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your soul. It doesn't matter what our enemies are doing. It doesn't matter what our problems are. When you and I get in the Word of God, you begin to understand that this, friend, is a hedge of protection for us. It'll protect your mind. Boy, it's amazing. Christians just losing their mind nowadays. I just feel like at times, Karen, I'm like, wow, what is going on in the world? You know what it is, Pastor Phil? Pastor Fitzgerald? People aren't in their Bibles. They forgot we have a book called Revelation. They forgot we're not prepping for the Antichrist. I don't know about you. I'm out of here, friend. I don't know, mid-trib and post-trib. You do what you want. When the trumpet sounds, I'm out of here. You can have my cars if you want to. Take this church, preach in the pulpit. But I'm here to tell you, I'm saved. I'm baptized. I'm born again. I'm going home. Anybody with me tonight? Hey, we have a hedge. Angelic prayer, the Bible. But also, and I have a couple minutes left here. Now watch. You also can build a self-built hedge. There is a self-built hedge. That means building a hedge between you and evil. The Bible says this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 at verse number 22. Abstain from all appearance of evil. The psalmist said it like this. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by, watch now, the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The Bible says it like this, make no provision for the flesh. This is a hedge that you make and you abstain, watch now, from that sin that easily besets you. Do we have prayer? Absolutely. Do we have angels that protect us? Yes. Do we have the Bible? Without a doubt. But listen very carefully. It also is on you and I to build a hedge about ourselves. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? That means this, friend. If you are, well, let's say if you struggle with alcohol, it's probably best to abstain from bars. It's not the best thing to go in and sit at a bar. Why? Because it's a sin that easily besets you. It's something that gets a hold of you. It's It's a deep temptation for you. If you struggle with pornography, it's best not to be on your phone alone or in your room or on a computer. What are you doing? I'm going to set up some hedges about me. I'm going to be careful in these areas. You struggle with bitterness, it's probably best not to go back and to relive and revisit whoever it was or whatever it was that hurt you back in 2017, 18, or 1999. Just leave it behind. What are you doing? You're setting up a hedge. If you struggle with pride, it's probably best not to take glory on yourself. So look at me. Look what I've done. Look what I built. Let me show you how I can brag about myself. But no, set up a hedge to where it's glory to God. Is anybody getting this tonight? Would you say amen? Understand, it is a self-built hedge. That means, do we have angels? Okay, prayer without a doubt. The Bible, wow, is that power. But you and I also have to take steps in our own life. I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of hearing across our nation, I just don't know how this happened. I just don't know how they fell in sin. They didn't fall in sin. They jumped in it. And if I pushed them, tripped them, I just never saw this coming. Then you were either not in the Bible like you should have been, or you're hanging around something that you've been playing with. And can I tell you, Satan is not a kitty cat. Here, kitty, kitty, you don't play with, you play with the kitty cat. He is a roaring lion. You know what that means? He's out to destroy. And he wants to destroy our families. Wants to destroy our young people. Pastor Chris Luderman is here, and I praise the Lord for him. And man, he's up there with our teenagers this evening. You know, one of the greatest things that we could do for our youth group is to build a hedge around them. You know, that means Pastor Chris, I'm going to help him out tonight, may not do everything the way that dun da da dun you would do it, or that I would do it, but build a hedge around them. That means this, protect them. The pastor, you may say, Pastor Fitzgerald, you shouldn't say that. I'm just going to say, the pastor may not preach every message the way that you want it to be preached. He doesn't let out on the time that you want to let out, or he might do something in his family that maybe you wouldn't do. You know what you and I ought to do? Build a hedge around your pastor. Getting in the car and boy, and I'm telling you what pastor did this. Get in, kids. That's it. I'm here to tell you, he didn't take our side, boy. I just stop on there. Oh, we'll be lucky if we even go back there. I don't really mean that, but you know what I mean, kids. And all of a sudden, we start tearing down our youth pastor and our deacons. And can I just tell you, friend, like, oh, hold on. Who gets the glory in that? I'm going to tell you right now, this is the honest truth. Carrie and I are very careful. Because I know that just as God is listening, so is Satan. And if Satan is listening, so are our kids. And do you know that I can affect their walk with God for the rest of their lives by getting in the flesh and tearing someone down where it wasn't a bad day, a bad week, it was a bad 5 minutes. This could be done and over. There's a hedge about you and I. Sometimes we have to build those hedges. At Cross Point Baptist Church, let's build a hedge. I mean, good things are happening. Amen. I mean that. Youth group, I don't know if you heard the testimonies, but y'all, after the night was over, I've never seen kids crying the way that they were crying after a service. Hugging each other, praising God, giving other adults hugs, telling. There's like confessional time. Man, Pastor, I made this decision. I don't even, okay, yeah, that's great, that's good. You know what? Praise God.
families joining. We had four families. Was it four families, Brother Coachell, that we, I think it was four families that we just voted on. Four families. When other churches are drying up, we have families that are coming. We got visitors. We got visitors here tonight. Moving our, trying to talk about moving our nurseries around because we got babies coming in. And life stage group. Can I just tell you? We got to build a protection, a hedge here. Don't let Satan get in this place. Well, I don't like the comfort. I don't like the, look, there's things I don't like either. I just go with it. You know why? Because the gospel's bigger than my preference. Build a hedge around your families, around this church. Gentlemen, around your mind. Ladies, around your mind. Is there a hedge? Sure there is. The last one, if you just want to write this down, and I'm done. The last hedge that you and I see is the name of Jesus. Do you know that there is great power in the name of Jesus? Revelation 12 says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They loved not their lives unto death. Proverbs says, the name of the Lord, listen very carefully, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. The psalmist said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Check it out. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. Bothers me, Brother Titus, when people take the Lord's name in vain. It bothers me. I don't like when people say Jesus Christ. I don't even like Lordy, Lordy, it's big in the South, and oh my God, and these things that where they take the name of Jesus and they drag it to something that they put on earth where it doesn't belong. It should be magnified, glorified, you know what I mean? Reverenced. You want to rebuke Satan? You want to get him far? Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh to you. Hold on, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh unto you. I'm not sure the whole verse, help me out, Kara, is it flee? Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. How do you draw nigh? There's power, a hedge. Bryce, for a young family like yours, or Brother Leroy, a family like yours, no matter what life stage, the power of Jesus, it's beyond our comprehension. But you want a hedge? Call on his name.